Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trundy Trev.
To Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari, live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service, for your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, give us a call, have a yarn, 1-800-422-416. Ready to have a yarn with your mob, and To Daily, looking forward to it. All right, now Spotify championing First Nation Voices and Podcast Acceleration Program as part of their intention to become a leader in the podcasting space. Streaming giant Spotify has today invited inspiring Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander podcasters to apply for their Sound Up Accelerated Program, a five-day residential podcasting workshop to be held in Sydney in May. We're going to catch up with one of the organisers, one of the people behind the scenes working in the space. That's Rowdy Walden. And a very good morning to you, Rowdy. How are you?
Good day. Thanks for having me on. I'm well. How are you?
I'm very good. Very good, my brother. Thank you very much for coming to the program. First of all, let the mob know who you mob. Where you from?
I'm from Gamilaroi country out near Barradine, but I grew up in Narromine, which is Wiradjuri country, and now I live down in Melbourne on Wurundjeri country.
All right, beautiful. Good footprint there, my brother. Now, tell us...
All over the place.
There you go, brother. Yes, we've got connections everywhere. So, brother, tell us about this space that you're working in. We are in the 21st century. We are talking social media. We are talking technology. So with you, we're talking podcasts. How did this come about, and how have you been working in this space?
Yeah, so in 2018, Spotify put out a call out for podcast ideas. Basically, anyone that was Indigenous and over the age of 18 could apply to them with an idea that they thought would make a good podcast or a story that they thought would make a good podcast. And so I applied, and I was one of 10 people selected. And so Spotify flew us all down to Sydney, and it's basically like an intensive boot camp, where they develop your idea into... you know, flesh it out, make it something that could actually become a podcast or a series. And then off the back of that experience, I've been lucky enough to have my podcast idea commissioned as a series. So we're currently in production now, making the first season of the idea that I pitched to them in 2018. But now Spotify have put a call out again saying, we want to do this again.
Yes.
Has anyone else got any ideas? And so that's open now for anyone that thinks that they might want to throw their hat in the ring and get amongst it.
Too deadly. So just paint the picture for, especially for us older folks, the one you're talking to, the bully one here. Tell us about a podcast and how deadly this tool is, and how it can be utilized as such.
Yeah, so a podcast is basically like radio, but it's able to be made and listened to by anyone. So anyone can grab a mic and an editing software, put their story together and chuck it up on the internet for people to listen to. It's like a really fast-growing industry, and I think it's a really important one for us.
Yes.
Because it means that we can go and tell our stories and have our voices heard without having to go to big broadcasters or without having to have it editorialized by white folks. So I think it's a really important space for us to get into, telling our stories, but also like just having black voices talk about anything, you know? It's such a cis white space, you know?
Sure.
Most of the top podcasts are run by white men. So I think it's a really good space for us to be getting into. And I mean, why shouldn't we be there, you know?
Well, exactly, brother. You're singing to the choir here, my brother, because black voices and nothing beats black on black. And when we as black people telling our story, then you're hearing it straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. You're hearing the real stories, the true stories. And a lot of times, well, throughout the years and generations, our stories, our voices have been trotted down, so to speak. And look, here's a tool, a magical tool that we can really tell our deadly stories, brother.
Yeah, and you can do it without, you know, too much interference. And I think it's really heartwarming for us to have a company that's so big, like Spotify is like a global streaming giant. Like they're the biggest streaming platform for music to be going, oh, hey, we're in Australia and we want to hear ideas from First Nations people. I think it's great.
Yeah, fantastic. And the other thing, it could be also be a tool for an individual, a brother or a sister, who are using it as a tool to promote themselves on and who they are. And doors could open up in regards to radio work or acting or a position for a person to write a book regarding the stories,
exactly. Yeah, the opportunities are really endless. And some of the, the biggest podcasts in Australia, one of them, Shameless, and it's hosted by two girls who are totally independent. They just decided that they want to do it, and now it's one of the most listened to ones. So the opportunities are really there for someone to grab and really take hold of.
Mm. So how did you get in this space? Could you say a nerd, a geek in regarding social media or technology? Tell us your story there, brother.
maybe I'm a little bit of a nerd. my podcast is called Search Engine Sex, and it's basically looking at all the most Googled sex questions. And then each episode we try and answer one of those because, there's so much misinformation out there on the internet.
Sure.
So it's kind of the antidote to Google Doctor,
Yes, exactly. So you use, for that conversation, there's your topic, and that became your foundation in regard to using podcasts. And, doors have opened up for you as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think podcasting is a great tool because it's so intimate. Like if you think about TV, you sort of have to sit in a room and watch it with people. But with podcasting, you're sort of talking to someone who's sitting there with headphones in, and it's quite an intimate space. So you can really open up. It's a medium that sort of opens up a lot of opportunities and a lot of different ways to tell stories, I think.
Sure. And we're talking real stories. I mean, you can talk from the heart and you can really say it how it TIS, brother.
Exactly.
Mm, that's beautiful, brother. So are you finding a lot of First Nation mob, probably young ones, in the space as such?
The year that I did the boot camp, which was the first year, it was a real mixed bag. There was like a lot of young people, a lot of people my age, but also we had an older lady who was in her, I think she was in her 50s, and she was like, I want to go into podcasting. I was like, this is great. Like, this is exactly what the space needs. We need representation from not only different cultures and different backgrounds, but also different ages. And I think older black women have a bad rap, and I think it's time for
their voices to be heard.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Fantastic. Beautiful space. I know that we here at Bummer Bipram, we've got our webpage, and in there's connection for our podcast, and we've got our team, IT team behind the scenes that do all that. Murray just talk on the phone here. That's all I talk on a microphone. But it's out there, and it's a powerful tool. I thank you very much for sharing with us, Rowdy. Look, keep doing what you do, my brother, and you don't sound rowdy at all, can I say?
I'm on my best behavior.
There you go.
This is my first appearance on your station. So
there you go. You got to behave. My brother, keep doing what you're doing, brother, and I love your work, and thank you for sharing, Cuss.
Thank you so much. And if anyone wants to jump in, the applications close on March 15th, so jump online now. If you Google Spotify Sound Up Australia, it'll come up and you'll be able to apply.
Okay, Spotify Sound Up Australia. Two Deadlies, all the mob out there want their voices to be heard. Podcast is the way to go, as Rowdy Walden has stated. All the best to you, my cuss.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Two Deadly. Beautiful yarn there with that Deadly brother. Rowdy Walden, his name is. He's behind the podcast and regarding Spotify championing First Nation voices with Podcast Acceleration Program. So you can check that out. And if you want to use podcast as a tool, you can do all that. And you can send all your emails and inquiries to Tamara at seniorcommunications.com. Tamara, T-A-M-A-R-A at ENCIA communications, one word, .com.au. So check that out and use podcasts as a tool to get your voice heard, so to speak. If you've got something you want to get off your chest, that's the way you can do it. Here on your daily program, National Talk Black, give us a call, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. National Talk Black is housed at the Aboriginal Torres Strait Radio Station here in Cairns. BBM, Bummer Brippin Media, 98.7 FM. And we go via NERS, National News Radio Service. Too Deadly.
Pobla, pobla me. Pobla, pobla me. Pobla, pobla me. pobla mi. Pobla, pobla mi. Pobla, pobla mi. Pobla, pobla mi. Pobla, pobla mi. Sit down in my country. I sit down on the ground. I mind my own business. I mind my own way. Pobla, pobla mi. Pobla, pobla mi. Pobla, pobla mi. Pobla, pobla mi. Guardia, come along. He no listen to our song. He build a brand new house. He build a brand new home. Pobla, pobla mi. 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 They give us social security. That's to give us CDP. Government say he good now. They trick us with their money. Pobla, pobla mi. Pobla, pobla mi. Pobla, pobla mi. Pobla, pobla mi. Sit down in my country. I sit down on the ground. I mind my own business. I mind my own way. Pobla, pobla mi. 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 Pobla, pobla mi.
Oh yeah. girl turns out another tune to the sound of a lunar moon. The night draws closer to you. Let me tell you something, that it's time to choose. Want better days? Can you turn it over? Your life's ready made, and I can't see a river if flows toward better days.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black, as I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bummer Rip Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say here on National Talk Black. Going to catch up a yarn now. We've got Sissy Petit on the line, Javier on the line, Deputy Chairperson of the Victorian Aboriginal Heritage Council. And a yarn today is about burial rights, and a documentary illustrates decades-long fight to return ancestors to country is where they belong. I strongly believe that. And on the line, we've got Sissy. Sissy, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, brother. I'm good.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. First of all, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, from Victoria, Wamba Wamba Country on the Murray River. We've got two sides of the riverbank, we New South and in Victoria, but under the Aboriginal Heritage Act in Victoria, I can only look after my old people on the Victorian side of the riverbank.
I'd like to think you do that well, my sister. Love and respect to our mob and ancestors to our country. Now, the conversation is about returning ancestors to country. Look, a very important space, and not a lot of organisations or government support in making this happen.
Mm-hmm. It seemed like that for some time. Historically, we were under the Relics Act, and I suppose a lot of that attitude comes from those days. But now with the new legislation, the Aboriginal Heritage Act 2006, and then 2016, a lot more improvements and amendments have occurred so that Aboriginal people are the decision makers for their ancestors.
Exactly. I'm looking at notes here back in 1985. The first instance of repatriation saw the remains of 38 ancestors returned to traditional owners from museums in Victoria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And look, we're working very hard constantly to keep that work going. It's something that a lot of our elders have done in the past before I was even born, and I'm continuing their work.
And so how many in the organisation, your team there, in working in this space?
Well, we're a council of 11 traditional owners in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our office, and plus we have our office staff too.
Yeah, fantastic.
We have Ancestors Remain Unit, yeah.
And what's the process in regarding, there would be a lot of research behind the scenes, yes?
Yeah, we've had a lot of, I'm not being offensive or racist. We've had a lot of scientific research done on our old people, and we're at the stage now is when does that stop? When is that enough?
Mm. As I always say, Sissy, nothing beats black on black, and black people got to be at the forefront in policing and working in the space for our mob, for our ancestors, yes?
That's right. There's no other way about it. We are the decision makers, and under the Victorian Aboriginal Heritage Act, this is so important. It doesn't happen anywhere else, especially in any other state, where Aboriginal people own their own people.
And how long has your organisation been operating for, Sissy?
2006, brother.
2006, and here we are. So even that's a long time, too long waiting, isn't it?
Too long waiting. Mm. But like I said before, with the changeover with the two legislations, that's probably had an impact on where we're at today as well, and those old attitudes.
And who's at the table in regard to university, archaeologists? Is there support in that space in us moving forward?
There's a lot of support out there in the wider industry, but I suppose as a council member, it's our role to ensure that under the legislation, processes and procedures are adhered to. Otherwise, there's, legal grounds.
Legal grounds, yep, fantastic.
Yep.
And when we're talking about returning our ancestors to country, we're talking about the journey home, aren't we?
Yeah, we call it a journey, but, you know, it's a part of our belief system.
Yes.
Mm.
And non-Indigenous and archaeologists and scientists alike sometimes miss that point, don't they, when we're talking about our spiritual connection?
Yeah, because they don't understand, you know, the link between priceless, no money. You know, you can never put a dollar sign on our old people.
Yes.
And that's the difference where our two cultures clash.
Mm. And when we talk about our ancestors, we talk about the skeletal remains, but the spirit is lost. Unless when the skeletal remains is back on country, then they're at peace, aren't they?
That's what we believe, and with our culture, we've got to have ceremonies so that we know we're bringing their spirit back from the darkness into the light.
Yes, powerful.
So they can continue their journey into the dreaming.
So, tell me the emotion or tell me the feeling, especially with family, and when you find an ancestor and an elder and bringing it back to country, it must be a celebration, you could say.
The celebration's what comes after the fact, when you know the work's completed and that you put your ancestors back in the ground and the dead, rest on their own country, particularly when it comes to the babies as well. I mean, and as women, and I've done a repatriation, like I've carried the mourning around for so many years, and then you get a sign, it's time to let that mourning go now. They return to the dreaming.
Mm. Which is very important. And then, like you said, the work is completed in that sense, and the ancestors are at rest. Are we operating? We're talking Victoria. Is there an organisation like yours throughout this country, other states and other territories?
No, not at all. Victoria, we're leaders, brother.
Yeah. Well, every other state and territory should be picking up what you're putting down, yeah? Should be taking a page out of your book,
happening.
So to speak.
Yeah, that's certainly happening. We've had opportunities to speak to other states, and we're still continuing those conversations today.
Yes, and very important conversation at that. How long have you been a chairperson, a deputy chair at the Victorian Aboriginal Heritage Council, sis?
Deputy for 2 years. This is my second term. We get a 3-year term on council, so this is my second term and second go at being deputy.
And look, it sounds like a very active board as such. You're happy with your fellow directors?
Look, I couldn't be more pleased. Like, we've got a great bunch of people that have got the skills and knowledge, and what they bring to the table is immeasurable.
Fantastic, my sister. Well, like I said, we need to be picking up and taking a page out of your book, so to speak, and bringing our ancestors back on country, home to rest. And love your work, and thank you very much for chatting, my sister. And all the best to you and your right hand there, Alex. Big shout out.
Yeah, big shout out to Alex. She helps us in the office here. Although Alex is not an Indigenous, that doesn't matter. We work with everyone in our
That's
office.
Right. Whoever's for the cause, that's what it's all about.
Yeah,
we love
right.
our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters as well. And if their heart's in the right place, our ancestors will know anyway.
Yeah, That's right. We leave it up to the ancestors to judge people. We know you to judge.
Too deadly, sissy. All the best to you, my sister. Keep doing what you're doing.
All right, then, Trendy Trev. We'll catch you around the track.
All right, now. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Adela Young there. Sissy Petite Javier, her name is, Deputy Chairperson of the Victorian Aboriginal Heritage Council, and a very important conversation about bringing our ancestors back on country and so they can rest in peace. And that's in the skeletal remains as well as the spiritual side of things as well. Have you say, you mob. I'm Jan Upstrong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM 98.7 FM. And we go via NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can give us a call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416.
I see you picking up a stone, I want to break your bones. Compare a weed and a tree, it's just a judge, you see. Because they don't know that the stone is cold and the mould is bold. They're putting judgment on me. I don't always know, I'm often getting it wrong. If you see a perfect man, it must be divinity. You see, it's not me, but he set me free. If you're without sin, cast your stone.
Father, make us holy, help us find a resolution now. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help us see through your eyes, help us see the people everywhere. Get great glory for yourself, oh God.
Animals and creature from the stinking zoo. All he wanted to do was show you that he cared about you. All you had to do was sit and listen with that attitude. Now here I am thinking about the words that's inside. Now here I am writing down the words in the facts. But does it matter? Does it even really matter what I say? Well, yes it does, I guess it does, I guess it really does.
Cast your stone.
Cast your stone.
Child, heaven knows we are.
folks. Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service, and Yarn Up Strong here on the First Nation radio station. So check out our Facebook page, BBM 98.7 FM. I'm going to catch up now with Dr. Lisa McDonough. Talk about natural contaminated threat to drinking water from groundwater. Climate change and urbanisation are set to threaten groundwater, drinking water quality. New research from New South Wales University that Sydney shows. We've got Dr. Lisa on the line. Dr. Lisa, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you very much for coming to the program. It's a very important space. So we're talking about natural contaminated threat to drinking water from groundwater. So climate change is upon us. It's affecting the weather. It's affecting Mother Earth is crying out. And now we're talking water, a very scary conversation, you could say.
Yeah, so what we're finding is that these changes that we're expecting in our climate and rainfall is going to impact on our groundwater quite significantly, and that's a bit of a worry considering that nearly 50% of the global population relies on groundwater for drinking water.
Mm. So where we are, what do we need to do to prevent this from happening? What's the work that's been done? The government needs to come to the table, yes?
So I think the first step is, research like this and finding out what is going to be impacting our groundwater. So this research was actually the world's largest global data set that we were looking at, and we're finding that increases in temperature in a US data set is increasing groundwater organic matter, which is quite significant, considering that when we have high levels of groundwater organic matter, we have mobilization of arsenic, for example, and we've also got disinfectant byproducts that occur when we treat the water that's high in organic matter.
And so when we're talking about organic matter and talking about all these chemicals that are coming into the water, where are they coming from?
So organic matter is a natural contaminant in groundwater, and so when you've got, say, leaves dropping into soil, that gets broken down by microbes.
Yes.
And depending on the moisture content of the soil and the temperature of the soil, you might have a stimulation of that microbial decomposition. So that's why we're seeing these changes with climate. As we've got warming temperatures and changes in rainfall patterns, you've got different amounts of organic matter being broken down by those microbes.
Okay, so what do we do here? What do we do to prevent this from happening?
Well, the first step is obviously looking into this, and that's what we've done here. Our next step is trying to figure out what the best water treatment methods are for when we do experience high DOC concentrations, or if we do experience high DOC concentrations in the future. And obviously I think at the moment we don't have a concentration limit on organic matter in drinking water. Mm. So I think it would be quite useful to have a limit on organic matter concentrations in our drinking water.
Okay, so University of New South Wales, you guys are working in this space. Are other universities working in this space? Are you communicating with universities across the globe?
Yeah, so this was this paper was a collaboration between a couple of organisations in the UK as well. So we worked with the University of Bradford as well as the British Geological Survey, and then we had some help with from Southern Cross University as well, and Australian Nuclear Science Technology Organisation. So there's a lot of different groups that are looking into this with us.
And so there should be, because we're talking about Mother Nature, we're talking about precious liquid, we're talking about water, so it could and will become a health threat if we're not careful.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that's why we've started to shift our focus onto this, because with climate change we're going to have less surface water to rely on, so our reliance is going to start shifting more and more onto groundwater.
Well, like sand in the hourglass, time's run away, we cannot control time. How urgent is this space that we need to be working in?
So this study looked at concentration changes in 2050. Any time before that is going to be a good time to start looking into this a bit more.
Well, beginning's half done, yeah, and so you're working in a space and you're working strongly there. Do we notify the government? Are they at the table? Do they know what's going on in the work space that you're working in?
Yeah, so what we do at UNSW Sydney is actually have like a seminar conference with government organisations, and we present our research and our findings such as this. So this was only published on Monday. So it's quite new research, but the research is open access, so anyone can anyone can access and read the full article and all of the research.
And what about the portfolio itself? Is it under what minister? Are we talking health minister here?
Sorry, what was that?
This space that you're working in, which portfolio would this be slotted into, and under whose watch? Are we talking the health minister?
I think this was quite relevant to water treatment facilities, actually. They're the ones that are putting in different treatment options.
Sure, yeah.
For organic matter, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just talking about from the government side of things. I mean, which minister needs to be looking at this very carefully and working with all universities and to make sure that we prevent this from happening is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think it's pretty relevant to all aspects of government and local council as well.
All the above.
Yeah.
All right, Dr. Lisa. And how many people in your team, doctors working in this area?
Oh, at UNSW, we've got a team of about 5 on this project.
Okay.
And then a couple from the different organisations as well. So that's just our team.
Okay. Well, a very important team, should I say. I thank you very much for coming to the program and sharing with us where we're at regarding natural contaminant threat to drinking water from groundwater. A space that we need to be working on and look at it very, very carefully. I thank you very much, Dr. Lisa. All the best to you and your team, and you have a great day. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. You too. Thanks.
Bye-bye. So there it is, very important space to be working. We're talking drinking water from groundwater and contamination. We're talking the climate change. It's affecting Mother Earth, and we're talking fires, and we're talking floods, and now we're talking drinking water. So, look, very important. It's very scary. The future looks, and government need to adhere to what's happening and need to be talking to the professionals. And that was Dr. Lisa McDonough, her name is. And she's from the University of New South Wales and working in that space. But you can have your say, add to the conversation, Mob. 1-800-422-416, number you need to call, is National Talk Black. Yeah, I'm with the baldy one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for the daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First National Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumper Brit Media, 19.7 FM. And we go via NERS, National News Radio Service. To Daily Mob, stay tuned.
Just the same, and she old time. That's all we lost. Just a little time for the feeling. Old time. That's all we need. Just a little time for the healing to begin. People are sleeping at your feet, and children are weeping in the street. Why are we eating this bitter fruit? Horrible time. That's all we ask. Just a little time for the feeling. Horrible time. That's all we need.
My name's Raven and you're listening to Talk Black on BBN 98.7 FM.
The blood that we shed. Now the goal of a new year.